When you think of freedom, what's the image that comes to mind? Anybody have one? The beach.
Flying.
Yeah. Running through the fields. Yeah. Through the poppies. Dancing. Unconditional love. Oh, you guys are so good. You already feel the freedom, right? Breathing. Ah. Oh. Yes, so true, Mario. Yeah, something we have every moment. Freedom in every breath. Beautiful. Okay, we're done here. I was thinking of, you know, kind of that car commercial, like, you know, the dog out the window, you know, the wind. Or you riding down the highway on your Harley with the wind in your hair. Or I've heard some interviews with surfers, and I can imagine, as I watch them, just imagine what it might be like, that feeling of freedom riding the waves. I get a little bit of that if I'm on a boogie board, but, you know, it's not quite the same as being out there in the deep blue riding those big waves, right? And I imagine that is really freeing, that letting go, right? To both be using your own skill and your own body, but also letting go. There's an element of that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So why not have freedom, right? We live in the land of the free. except for some, I heard someone say. Except for some of us some of the time, and all of us some of the time. And yeah, we also deal with a reality that doesn't feel so free, doesn't feel so aligned with our values. And as we're coming on the cusp of July 4th and celebrating independence as a country, it's a time to look at that, right? To really look at these ideals and these values and to see how we do in here and how can we dig deeper into the gift of freedom. I think about Lady Liberty as our symbol. Of course, the flag is one of the key symbols for us too, but I'm really drawn to the Statue of Liberty and what she stands for and the symbolism. You know, so there she stands, you know, this giant in her flowing robes. And she holds in her hand, in her right hand up high, the torch to welcome the immigrants onto Ellis Island specifically. But to welcome all to the land of the free, right? And then in her other hand, she holds this sacred document dated July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence. At her feet, there are broken chains, broken out of the tyranny and into freedom. You know, so she's like that phoenix from the ashes kind of symbol with that broken chain at her feet. And on her crown, there are 7 points, and those 7 points symbolize the 7 seas and the 7 continents. So she's not just a symbol for our country, but for the world, a symbol of freedom for the world, a symbol of welcome and liberty and unconditional love. Yeah. And so these days, sometimes it may feel, maybe all through the years, but all I know is now, that shadows are cast upon this beautiful symbol. Does it feel that way sometimes to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't feel like her torch is fully illumined, or that somehow we're not allowing it to be fully illumined. And so we in unity know where we need to look, right? Within us. How are we contributing to the shadows being cast? And how might we contribute to that essence of freedom being alive and well for all of us? Well, certainly we need to feel it within ourselves to share it with another, right? So it seems like it's a really important time in our lives to be looking both at our inner shadow and looking at the inner work that is there for us personally, and also looking at the collective shadow and our part in that. And so it's a dance of light and dark going on, and it's a rich opportunity for us, as Khalil Gibran offers to us, that it is when we are girdled with this kind of concern and care and grief and heavy-heartedness that we have the opportunity to emerge naked and unbound, truly free. So being free isn't about being without responsibility. It isn't about being without commitment. In fact, it seems if we are on the track that is authentic for us of walking into and rising up with the commitments and responsibilities that are authentically ours, that there is an offering of freedom there that is sweeter than any freedom we might have with complete abandon of no responsibility. Do you know what I'm saying? And you experience some of that, I'm sure. Life without liberty is like a body without a spirit, Khalil Gibran said. And by the way, if you don't know who he is, he's a Lebanese poet, probably best known for The Prophet, the book The Prophet, in which he ruminates on all these topics, and freedom being one of them. It's kind of like a Bible for me. I really like Khalil Gibran. So oddly enough, the Statue of Liberty in some ways seems more spirit-filled than some bodies. You know, this metal statue, because of what we have cast upon her, our hopes, our ideals, our sense of what we are as a collective nation, world, people. So what is it that she's telling us? What is this liberty? What is the freedom? What does it mean for us? You know, the movement of freedom to touch it, to taste it, to allow it to be manifest is really, like all of our spiritual teachings, a movement not from the outside in, because it's easy to see where we fall down when we just look at the outside, but to go from the inside out. Yesterday I had something come up and it was blocking me in preparing for my talk. And so I went and reached for one of those worksheets in the Q process. And it freed me. By doing some shadow work, it freed me. That's what we do. That's what we have available to us. So many tools available to us. So using your own innate wisdom to guide you to the tools that might be most useful to you at a certain time, so that you may taste that freedom again and unblock whatever may be in the way to your good, to what is before you to do. So Michael Bernard Beckwith, anybody familiar with him? He's a founder of Agape and has a nice big church, and he's really risen to be one of the best known New Thought spiritual teachers. And he has this wonderful teaching on the four stages of consciousness. Some of you may be familiar with it. And in it, he talks about how we experience life in the first stage as to me. Things happen to me. You know, it's kind of like as if we are walking through the world like it's like a weather report, right? So if it's sunny, I'm going to feel pretty good. And if it's cloudy or stormy, I'm not so good, you know? And so whatever's going on with the weather or the stock market or our family, you know, that's going to be our experience of the day, batted around by the external factors and forces of the world. And he says we can move from that to me consciousness, that victim consciousness, that consciousness of shame and blame, into a new stage. And the second stage he names to it consciousness. This one is the state of law, the state of consciousness that is about law and principle. And so we know about this one, we work this one, we talk a lot about law and principle as we co-create with spirit. When we are in co-creation, we use some of the tools that we offer here, like affirmative prayer, or you might make a vision board or do some visualization. This is a kind of to it, like to spirit, almost a relational kind of understanding of working the law. And so we might begin to give up a little bit of the control when we move into the to it kind of consciousness or the law. See, he has a quote for each one. So this specific one is, I can control my thoughts and my life, where the previous stage, the to me or victim consciousness, is the why me question, right? Why is this happening to me? We all know that one. And so in the third stage, he talks about the through me consciousness. So it is spirit moving through me, and I would encourage us to even consider everything in the world moving through me. Taking it all in, the pain and the good, and letting it move through me. And so the through me consciousness is a vessel kind of consciousness. It's a kind of consciousness that is receptive and open. It's something that we access when we meditate, when we open our hearts. This is the through me consciousness. I am spirit will act through me and speak through me and walk through me and move through me and dance through me and sing through me. Whatever it is that we're up to in life, it's that partnership. It's a deeper sort of co-creation and partnership. In this one, we have an opportunity to give up even a little bit more of that idea of ego and separation. And in the final state of consciousness, he calls it as me. As me is a consciousness of oneness. It's now I am one with God, so there is no separation. There's a complete experience of the mystic, which mysticism is that. It's a direct experience with the divine. So it's an embodiment of beingness of God. In the as me consciousness, there is no otherness. Right? Even with one another, we can have those moments of complete merge, of a sense of complete oneness, of that inclusivity and almost one step beyond inclusivity into this just, it's it, right? All of life is one. And so in this consciousness, he says that the statement is, I am one with God. And in the previous one, it is not I, but God or the Christ or the divine who does the work. So the through me is it is not I, but God who does the work. And the as me is God and I are one. He says in the final one, the opportunity to experience limitless consciousness beyond oneness is available to us. So what does this have to do with freedom? I think it's really a great map to freeing ourselves. To getting to that essence of what this thing is that we call freedom, to really experiencing it and offering it to each other. And somebody said in the 8 o'clock service, you can be completely free in prison. Right? Because it is all an experience of the mind and the heart and the consciousness, which is consciousness, the mind and the heart, by the way, working together, this sense of understanding of who we really are. We can be free in any condition then. We are no longer batted around by the winds of whatever is happening in the news, in the media, in the world. And it is important to note that that first stage is still important. That first stage that looks at what's going on in the world is still important. That first stage that says, this is not okay. This is you know, enough already. We need to do something and address this thing. But then to address it, we must move out of it's happening to me or to us or to them, out of that victim space and help one another move to where the power is. Where the possibility is, where the change can happen. We will never transform or taste full freedom if we stay in the place that says life happens to me and poor me and why me? And so we must help one another and ourselves move along the journey so that we can be really the emblem of what this Lady Liberty stands for. And what we were called to be, meant to be. If we live in this country, if we're a citizen of this country in some way, however we got here through immigration or migration or birth or whatever, a stork. However it happened, you're here on this land, maybe temporarily, maybe hoping to become a citizen. And if you hope to become a citizen, it's my greatest wish that you will be able to. I've met over the years so many people from other countries that think this is the greatest country in the world. And for those of us who've been native, sometimes we look at our faults and our places where, you know, we don't measure up. And it's easy to see that right now in our world. But when you hear those voices that say, the freedom here, the things that have been given me, the opportunities, you know that something is right. Something is available. That essence, that symbol is reaching out in a way and reaching hearts and minds despite whatever fences we may decide we must put up for whatever reasons, misunderstanding the essence of what freedom is. Eric Butterworth offered to us in the Daily Word reading today, that freedom is not something where we're just releasing, you know, something that doesn't work for us, which is a way that we often think about it, but freedom is actually releasing our spiritual capabilities. Freedom is like a doing and a being. It's an action, and the action could be moving through these kinds of states of consciousness that Michael Bernard Beckwith has laid out for us. To me, to it, through me, as me. There was a man at the Pool of Bethesda. Some of you may remember that story from the Bible in the book of John. And he was at the Pool of Bethesda because it was the place where people gathered for healing. And so the waters needed to be troubled. In other words, like a bubbling hot spring or a whirlpool kind of effect, in order to get the healing properties of the pool. And so the man was sitting on his mat right next to the pool. And it said in the Bible, and all of these details are important because they have metaphysical meanings and symbols. So there's five entryways, five porticos to the Pool of Bethesda. And five in Hebrew numerology means change. And so there is already set up this idea that something needs to change, some kind of shift in consciousness is the way that we would understand that change. So the man is sitting there on the mat next to the pool, and Jesus comes along, and guess how long that man has been sitting there? 38 years, we're told. Yeah, that's a long time. And so Jesus comes along and says, do you want to be healed? It's really a good question, isn't it? Yeah, because on the surface, we all say, oh yes, of course we want healing and we want love and we want, but do you really? Always a good idea to ask it again and again and again. And so the man then begins to spill out all the reasons why it can't be so. Well, I can't get into the water and nobody comes along to help me, and I can't get in when it's troubled, and so I just haven't been able to make it happen, you know? He didn't say make it happen, but you know, this is a basic idea. All the reasons why it can't happen. And Jesus just sort of cuts to the chase and says, pick up your mat and walk. And so he does. Because he hears that voice of authority, he hears that voice of power, he hears that voice of freedom that can't be denied. It resonates within him. You know how it is when you get that kind of message? And so we understand in these stories where Jesus appears metaphysically, we understand that it is that divinity within us, that Christ consciousness within us, that is speaking to us. And when we hear from that space for the first time in a new way, we can feel the power and the freedom and the possibility. And so we are no longer stuck in that limbo of, do I really want whatever it is that I think I'm desiring? Now I can take up my mat of limitation and lack, and I can move forward on my own two feet. I want to invite you into a visualization. If you would like to play, you may want to close your eyes and just take a moment to drop into your heart space. And I invite you to just see and feel what is here in your heart, what perhaps desire is present in your life right now. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's for some way you want to contribute to the world. Whatever is present, just let it come. And here you are sitting on your mat as you, in your mind's eye, as you imagine what it is that you wish for. And perhaps you might even imagine that a wise and loving being is standing right before you, asking the question, what do you want? No, what do you really want? And once you're clear on what you want, I want to invite you into that monkey mind that says all the reasons why it can't happen. If there are reasons present that say, yes, but I can't have it because, or it won't happen because, just take a moment to really allow your mind to fill up with all the reasons and the whys and why nots. And then one by one, we're going to allow those reasons and those blocks to fall away. Just feel it now as each one sort of falls out of your mind onto the mat in every which way direction. Feel how your mind begins to free up and fill with light as each of the blocks falls away. And now coming back to your heart's desire, perhaps feeling a little more freedom in your body, a little more spaciousness around your desire in your heart. I invite you to imagine standing up, standing tall in your power. A sense of this desire is now in the process of manifesting and rolling up that mat that is filled with limitation. And you may want to hand that mat off to the wise and loving being that is standing before you in your mind's eye. And now walking off tall and proud and free toward that which you desire. And now walking as that which you desire, having already merged with it. And when you are ready, I invite you to open your eyes. In the story, what happened to the man was, after that, he walked out of one of those porticos with his mat under his arm, and the authority said, "You can't do that on the Sabbath. You can't be walking around with your mat." Imagine after 38 years of waiting to be healed, somebody's going to tell you, "You can't." And that might happen to you. You might come out of here with some kind of desire that's really ripe and rich and true for you, and you feel really strong in it, and it's going to happen, and you're making it happen, and you're co-creating with spirit, and you're letting this quality be you and emerge from you and bring the goodness in your life. And somewhere out in the world, you'll bump up against limitations that say, people who say, or ideas or systems that say, "No, you can't. We've never done it that way. Get in line. Wait your turn. Take a number. You can't have what you just experienced." But what you know is different because it happens inside. Doesn't really matter what happens out here. I mean, we care about what happens out here, and we want to affect transformation in what happens out here. But the order is inside out. The world will tell you it's outside in, but we know that it's inside out. And so this is how we work our freedom and share it with one another. In 1963, Martin Luther King gave a speech that all of us probably know, the "I Have a Dream" speech. He was standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial when he delivered it. And it was during a march on Washington for jobs and freedom. And so you can imagine that what brought everybody together was a sense of "to me" consciousness, right? And that's a reality. There were things happening, and still are, that were unjust. And so there was a desire to demonstrate for freedom, for jobs. And so it begins with that reality check of, yes, this is what's going on in the world, and we must acknowledge it. We don't spiritually bypass over these things. We acknowledge the reality, but then as quickly as we can, we move the energy into this consciousness that we want to experience for ourselves and share with the world. And Martin Luther King, of course, I don't know, you know, it's chicken or the egg, what comes first. I see an overlay of this kind of movement of consciousness even in this excerpt of his speech. He envisioned a day when all of God's children, he said, will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, for thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, from every mountainside let freedom ring." And that was kind of a beginning to move toward the law, the to-it consciousness, an affirmation of saying, let freedom ring in this land. And then he says, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. That's law. That's law saying, if this is a great nation, then it will show itself to be so. That's how we work our principles, right? That we call it forth, we claim it. And then he moves into the through me consciousness, the vessel, the openness, the receptivity, when he says, when we allow freedom ring to ring, when we let it ring from every village, from every hamlet, from every city, from every state, then we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's children, now he's moving into inclusivity, edging into oneness, will join hands, black and white, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, and we can add all the rest that we would add today to be inclusive of all the faces and expressions of humanity and life. And then he says, all of them, all of us, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. That's where we want to go. Let's say it together. Together, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. Oof, it's powerful up here feeling that. You got it. And so do we. God bless you.